headed west at our good clip, and it took Drover a while to catch up with me.
Where are we going, Hank?
Back to the ranch. Where do you think?
How can we do that when we swore an oath never to return?
Look, Drover, there are several different kinds of oaths. Long-term, short-term, forever, and temporary. What we swore was your basic two-day oath.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's just about expired, so we need to get back to work.
Well, that worked out about right, didn't it?
I try to figure things pretty close, son.
But what about your family reunion?
I've decided there's no sense in joining my ancestors at this point, Drover. Why should I deprive my ranch and the world of one of its most valuable natural resources?
Well, that's a good question.
We loped down the creek, past the low water crossing, and followed the Caliche Road on west. I was hoping we wouldn't meet up with Rufus and the coyotes, and sure enough, we didn't. Well, Drover, how did the suffering go? Did you work on your character development?
Sure did, Hank. Well, I tried, but you know what? While you were over there talking to Beulah, I got the feeling she was trying to make eyes at me. I kind of think she likes me, Hank.
I studied the runt to see if he was joking. He wasn't. I guess in some ways, it's a comfort to go through life with below normal intelligence.
Could be, Hank. We ought to ask her about it sometime.
I decided to drop the subject. I mean, there's no sense in beating a dead horse with a sow's ear. It was around 4 o'clock in the afternoon when we topped the last hill and looked down at ranch headquarters. Everything was just where we'd left it. The house, the yard, the machine shed, the gas tanks, the corral, the saddle shed. Made me feel good to see the old place again, in spite of the heavy responsibility that had already begun to settle upon my massive shoulders. Good or bad, it was my ranch. Well, Drover, there it is. The women may come and the women may go, but the ranch will always be the ranch. And look, there's little Alfred out in the yard, playing with his trucks. And Sally Mae has just walked out the door to check on him, and all at once, the peace and tranquility of the afternoon was shattered by a scream.
Ah!
What was that? Drover looked around.
Well, it sounded a lot like a scream.
Sally Mae was standing on the sidewalk, looking toward little Alfred and holding her hands up to her face. Pete the barn cat came creeping out of the flower bed. He appeared to be stalking something. Then suddenly he jumped back. There was another scream.
Ah!
By this time, I had traced it to Sally Mae.
Drover, it appears we arrived just in time. Something's wrong down there, and we'd better find out what it is. Come on!
We went flying down the hill. In situations like this, I go into DEFCON 5 and turn on maximum speed, which means that I become a blur of motion streaking across the pasture. Anything unfortunate enough to get into my way is broken, knocked aside, and sometimes even burned. When I reached the driveway in front of the house, I met Pete. He had just shot through the fence and was looking for a tree to climb.
That rattlesnake is back again, and he's mad enough to bite.
What about the child?
Well, he bites too, but it's the snake that worries me. You'd better do something, Hanky.
The word snake sent cold shivers down my back. Then I heard that awful buzz and saw the snake slithering into a coil, not more than 5 feet from little Alfred. The poor kid was grinning and cooing. Just didn't understand what was going on. He took a step towards a snake. It struck at his hand but missed. Sally Mae stood nearby, too terrified to move. The snake began to reload, drawing himself into another deadly coil. He buzzed. He flicked out his tongue. He glided into his coils. Little Alfred made a happy sound and took a step towards a snake. Behind me, I heard Drover's voice.
Hank, what are you gonna do? Hurry!
I don't know if I ever told you this, Drover, but I'm terrified of snakes.
Oh, no! You can't be, Hank! Not a time like this! Somebody's got to do something!
I know, but I just can't. That buzz, it does something to me. I can't move. You go, Drover. This is your opportunity.
I would, Hank, but, well, my leg just gave out on me, and...
The snake was coiled. He raised his head and cocked it back. Little Alfred giggled and took another step. Before I knew what I was doing, I exploded and flew over the fence and started barking. The snake turned to me with his wicked eyes and flicked out his tongue. Little Alfred reached down to pick him up. I had no choice. I took two big leaps and landed right in the middle of the coil. That terrible buzzing filled my ears and I tried to shut it out. I pawed and I snapped, and at last I got the snake in my jaws and gave it a shake. I felt something sting my right ear, but I tried not to think about it. I knew I'd been bit and injected with a fatal dose of poison. I knew I had maybe 5 minutes left to live. Sally Mae rushed over and swooped up the baby in her arms and carried him away.
Oh, Alfred, my baby, thank God you're safe.
The fight didn't last long. Once I got the snake in my jaws and started slinging him around. I mean, we're talking about jaws that can crush rocks and snap fence posts in half. So a snake, even a big one, doesn't stand much of a chance. It was a glorious moment of triumph. Sally Mae rushed over and hugged my neck. She cried and said I was the bravest dog in the world and apologized for all the tacky things she'd said about me. I enjoyed it, even as the poison rushed through my body and my eyes grew dim. This was the way I'd always wanted it to end. It took the poison only a couple of minutes to reach my heart. And then...
May I have your attention, please? On April 14th, at approximately 5:32 Central Standard Time, Hank the Cowdog lost consciousness, went into convulsions, and slipped into a deep coma. Death followed shortly. Cause of death was determined to be a massive dose of poison from a 6-foot diamondback rattlesnake. One of the bravest dogs ever to come out of the Texas Panhandle, Hank was loved and admired by everyone who knew him. At his funeral, Beulah, the collie, collapsed in a paroxysm of grief and had to be carried from the scene. Miss Scamper, the beagle, another of Hank's female admirers, threw herself upon the body and asked to be buried with him. Her request was denied on the grounds that if the authorities allowed her to be buried with the hero, hundreds of other lady dogs in Texas would demand the same honor. Burial was at the ranch, under the direction of Slim and High Loper. After the funeral, all livestock was driven from the 640-acre home pasture where the hero was laid to rest. The home pasture has been dedicated as Hank the Cowdog Memorial Park and will never be used to pasture livestock again. Taking a section of grass out of production was the least we could do in this situation, Loper remarked at the dedication of the new park. What really hurts is that our Hank is gone.
All right, I wrote that stuff about the funeral and all, and maybe I exaggerated a little bit. But it could have happened that way very easily. No ordinary dog could have survived that rattlesnake bite, but I did. I was all prepared to die, don't you see? But it just didn't happen that way. I guess cheating death had become such a habit with me that even with a quart of deadly rattlesnake venom rushing through my veins, I couldn't die. The part about the convulsions and slipping into a coma, that was all true. I passed out, and when I regained consciousness, I was lying on the kitchen table in Sally Mae's house, if you can believe that. Slim and High Loper were standing over me. Sally Mae stood off to one side, holding little Alfred in her arms.
I believe the old dog's gonna make it. Good job, Hank.
I wagged my tail. It took considerable effort. You can't imagine what a bad effect 2 quarts of rattlesnake venom has on your tail muscles. Slim bent down and studied my right ear.
Loper, it appears to me that the snake struck him on the tip of his ear and the fangs went all the way through. Look, you can see the fang marks.
Loper leaned over and looked at my ear.
Yep, sure looks that way.
Slim pushed his hat to the back of his head.
I don't believe the old rascal got a drop of poison. Huh? Well, that was easy for him to say, since he wasn't the one who was lying there on the table fighting for his life against half a gallon of deadly venom. Why do you reckon he passed out? Fainted, probably.
Loper looked over at Sally Mae.
Hun, he's all right. You want me to go ahead and give him the full treatment?
She came over and stroked my head.
Let's do. He was so brave out there, he deserves it.
That sounded more like it. Sympathy is a wonderful medicine. And it just seems to be better when it comes from an admiring woman. I didn't know what the full treatment was, but I had reason to suspect that it was gonna be pretty good. Warm milk over toast, eggs and milk, maybe even a big juicy steak. Loper picked me up and carried me into the other room. I just closed my eyes and enjoyed the ride. I could almost taste that steak. But you know what the full treatment was?
A dadgum bath! They throwed me into the bathtub and lathered me up with stinking perfumey soap. They picked fleas off my belly. They pulled ticks out of my ears. They pulled cockleburrs out of my tail. They pulled sandburrs off my back. 5 minutes in that tub just about ruined me. Never mind the rattlesnake poison. I was worried about dying of cleanliness. I took it as long as I could, and then I said to myself, I gotta get out of here. I jumped out of the tub and tried to shake all that stuff off. Yes, I throwed water everywhere and got Sally Mae so agitated that she yelled, "Get him out of here before he ruins my wallpaper!" That was music to my ears. Loper pitched me out the back door. Hank, I don't know how you do it, but I think you could find a way to screw up a bowl of ice cream.
I didn't hang around for my steak and eggs. I jumped the fence and made a wild dash for the sewer. I didn't bother to wade into that nice green pool of water. I flew into it. Oh, it was so nice. How I love sewer water. It soothed me. It healed me. It brought back my deep, manly smell. I give those healing waters full credit for counteracting the rattlesnake venom. It saved my life. Well, I was rolling around in the water when Drover came up.
Oh, Hank, I thought we'd lost you. Boy, am I glad to see you alive.
Alive and well, Drover. It takes more than a gallon of rattlesnake venom to put me out of commission.
A whole gallon? No fooling?
Yes, sir. Injected directly into my juggling vein.
Gosh, it's a miracle you survived. I almost died of fright just watching you.
It's all in a day's work, Drover. Fighting snakes, cheating death, courting women.
I climbed out on dry land and gave myself a shake.
Now we'd better head for the gas tanks and get some shut-eye. In another 3-4 hours, it'll be dark, and you know what that means.
Drover rolled his eyes around.
What does that mean, Hank?
strange sounds in the night. Creepy, crawly things. Monsters. Murders. Another case for us to crack. There's no end to it, Drover. We trotted over to the gas tanks and found our gunny sack beds just where we'd left them. I fluffed mine up, walked around it three times, and flopped down. In seconds, I was asleep and dreaming about a big, juicy bone.
Hank?
Huh?
How come I can't quit thinking about Beulah?
I cracked one eye. It's a bad habit. It shows poor training and lack of discipline. We don't have time for that nonsense. Now go to sleep.
Okay.
There was a moment of silence, then...
Hank, do you ever dream about Beulah?
I used to, but not anymore. She chose Plato, and I'm finished with her forever. Go to sleep. At last he was quiet. I drifted off to sleep again and went looking for that same juicy bone I'd been working on. I was floating along when all at once I saw... Gosh, she was pretty. The long collie nose, the deep brown eyes, the long flaxen hair.